What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Stu Does America.
BlazeTV.com/Stu. Use the promo code Stu because that's how they know you like this stupid show. Plus, you'll save 10 bucks if you're watching on YouTube. Like the video right this moment if you wouldn't mind. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the bell for notifications. Do all the things good podcast viewers and listeners do. Glenn Beck is here to give us his take on the Fox News Dominion settlement. The Supreme Court has weighed in on the abortion bill debate. We'll get into the details on that. But we start by doing investigation manipulation. Yes, the media is here for you. They want you to know all the very bad things going on with one Clarence Thomas. Yes, Clarence Thomas, that bastard. He's doing all sorts of illegal things, and the media is really pissed off about it. You're getting lots of coverage, lots of people writing about it. I've read, I don't know, 1,000 stories about all the terrible things this guy is doing. I mean, it's from every end of the media. Let's see. Clarence Thomas is untouchable. That has to change. Clarence Thomas explanations fail the laugh test, says the Washington Post. So what could Congress actually do to hold Clarence Thomas accountable? Clarence Thomas shows why Supreme Court justices cannot be above the law. Clarence Thomas, here are all the ethics scandals involving the Supreme Court justice. It's time for Clarence Thomas to retire. Clarence Thomas and a republic without shame. Well, I do agree we are a republic without shame, but my guess is we've come to two different paths to that particular assessment. I will say everybody knows about Clarence Thomas. Tons and tons of investigation on this guy. What are his vacation habits? We must know. What drinks has he had when he's been on the beach? How much has he charged for property he has sold and who purchased it? We must know everything about Clarence Thomas. It's been like the only thing in the news. Now, I will say this. We definitely don't need to know who the Roe versus Wade leaker is. Seems to be almost no intellectual curiosity whatsoever from any of these journalists who are coming out bitching about Clarence Thomas's vacation habits. But we had a major Supreme Court decision leaked, and just, you know, the shoulders, they just can't help but shrug. Palms in the air, shrugging the shoulders to the sky. What? I guess we'll just never know the answer to that one. Very, very, very interesting. Also, we didn't seem to really care about the whole Kavanaugh death threat thing. We care a lot about Clarence Thomas and where he's having a Mai Tai, but we don't care at all, apparently, about the Supreme Court justice's life being threatened. That was a blip of a story that lasted like 24 hours. But we're getting weeks of coverage here about Clarence Thomas and his vacation habits. Which flight? Does he like an aisle seat? Does he like a window seat? We must know immediately. Why is all of that true? Isn't it, I don't know, dumb? Aren't we a society, a civilization in decline just based on the way our media runs? Remember, our media, yes, they're annoying and they're hacks and they're pathetic and they do lots of things that suck, but they're vitally important to our country, or at least they were supposed to be. It was one of the central elements of design of this nation. The First Amendment, they got to it really quickly. One of the first things they thought of at the end, they're like, what else should we do? Ooh, we should probably get to that. Yeah, you know, the whole freedom of speech thing, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, all that stuff. Let's get to that, because that's kind of important. And yet the press seems to do the exact opposite. Of course, they're very, very interested in things like Clarence Thomas and his vacationing. But they don't seem to care about so many other important things. And that's the point here. These investigations seem to happen when the media wants them to happen. That's the defining characteristic of what these people seem to care about. You know, whenever we feel like it's going to help our agenda or the left's agenda or the government's agenda, then we're going to talk a lot about it. When it doesn't help that agenda, we're not going to talk about it at all. Now, There are many, many examples of this happening lately, but let me dive into one of them. Remember the Nashville shooting, do you? It's been off the front pages almost exclusively. I was looking for a mainstream source that still is talking about it. I found one from 4 days ago. This is NBC. They say, motive in Nashville shooting remains unclear. Weeks after six people were killed at a Christian school. How is that possible? How is it possible we don't have a motive? And you might say, well, how are they going to know? I mean, for example, the Las Vegas shooter, we never came up with a motive for that one either. Yeah, but he didn't leave a manifesto. The shooter in Nashville left a manifesto, and we don't know what was in it. Elon Musk was chiming in on this. He compared the handling of the Nashville shooter's manifesto to the Unabomber. Someone said, hey, an old white man shoots a trespasser and immediately the media has a motive. A trans terrorist murders Christian kids and they pretend there's no motive, even though there's literally a manifesto. And Elon Musk writes, where is the manifesto? Unabomber got his published. That's true. Where is this manifesto? Now, look, I don't know what the Nashville shooter's motivation was. Nor do you. You know why? They haven't released the manifesto. We don't know what was in the manifesto. The motivation for something like this isn't always incredibly important. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But I will say the fact that we don't know it yet is really, really fascinating. And we might find out that the reason we don't know it is some really good reason. Maybe they were protecting something. Maybe they thought it was going to lead to another piece of investigation. Maybe they think something else was going to happen. We might find out that that is the case. But I have to tell you, in this particular environment, you tell me, has it not just jumped into your head that what they're doing is hiding what is in this manifesto? If this was some incredibly boring white accountant that just went off the rails, you'd know exactly what his manifesto said. If it was some proud boy that decided he was going to go up and shoot up a middle school, believe you me, you'd know about it. In fact, you wouldn't be able to get away from it. Even if you've never even heard of the Proud Boys, you would be associated with them because, I don't know, you like low taxes or whatever. This would be very, very, very public. Now, once we find out, let's just say we happen to find out that what we see in this manifesto is a trans person who's been told, I mean, to be fair, by the media for years and years and years and years that everyone wants to kill them. Perhaps they feel justified in murdering Christians because they're oh so evil. Is that possible? I think it's certainly possible. Perhaps we might even have some really terrible, terrible thing to be said from this trans terrorist person who's egging on more violence, wants more destruction to happen in the community. We don't know. But if that were to happen, what of course would then unfold is they would say, well, look, we didn't release this manifesto because we were worried about retribution against other trans people. This is what always seems to happen, and it happened in the Nashville story itself. When a trans person goes and murders a bunch of school children, the media's reaction is, we should feel bad for other trans people. Now, we shouldn't really feel anything for other trans people. We shouldn't feel any change in our opinion because they didn't commit the crime, so therefore they should not be hated anymore. And also, the person who committed the crime is dead. So, look, you know, that shouldn't, of course, sullen your view of anyone in the same particular community. And honestly, like, where do we have examples of this even occurring? Well, we were told over and over again there was going to be an outlash of murders of Islamic people after 9/11. And even after that, it didn't. I mean, it killed 3,000 people, Islamic terrorists in New York City and of course, D.C. and in Pennsylvania. And we still didn't even see it after that. We got stories about how people, you know, had graffiti on their garage. And look, they shouldn't do that. But like, that's not an international incident. That's one jerk. the bottom line here is they keep telling us this used to happen all the time, even on like shows like 24, where they did have these special messages like, by the way, we showed a terrorist today. And in our depiction of terrorists, one of the terrorists happened to be of Muslim descent. And we want you to know that that's not real Islam. Islam's a religion of peace. And make sure you don't go out and kill anybody because you saw this TV show. And it's like, how insulting is this? We said the same thing after COVID happened. We were told there was going to be this wave of anti-Asian violence. And then when we went in and looked at the numbers, we thought, wow, that really didn't materialize. There was very, very little additional violence. And this is a pandemic that killed tens of millions of people. That's not how people react. That's not how people are. Are you like that? You see a trans person go and kill somebody, do you blame all trans people? I don't. I have my problems with drag queen story hours and some of the stuff going on right now, for sure. We talk about it often. But I'm not going to blame all trans people for a shooting. The people who are responsible for a shooting are the people that pull the trigger. This seems to be incredibly difficult for the media to understand, except in cases like this. In this case, it's just that person. There's no tie. There's no organization. There's no one who fired them up with warnings of evil Christian violence against them for years and years and years and years. Not a factor at all, apparently, in this case. We talked a little earlier this week, and I blew my voice out talking about this story, how a campaign against transgender rights mobilized conservatives, an infuriating, gaslighting article. And the idea was to make you, first of all, feel insane, but second of all, to reverse the order of events, to act as if it was us that decided to just pick out transgendered people as a new target because we lost a Supreme Court ruling. You know, it wasn't us who changed the gay community to the LG community, to the LGB community, to the LGBT community, to the LGBTQQIA2+, whatever it is, community. That wasn't us. We didn't add all that stuff. We weren't the ones going back and forth to demand people go do drag queen story hours for kids. We were not begging Leah Thomas to get into the pool with all the women and start swimming against them. This was not us. This is something the left brought on. They tried to radically change the culture in every single way from what we've expected in the last hundreds and thousands of years, and then expect within a 2-year period, everyone was supposed to understand that it was obvious what they were saying was true. And if you disagreed with it in any way, you were hateful. That's how all this happened. But the New York Times wants you to think, oh, no, it was conservatives. They were looking for an issue. They just made this of an issue out of nowhere. I mean, everyone was fine with it before. Now all of a sudden it's a big issue. Come on. Let me give you a couple things from this article that I thought were fascinating and I couldn't get to earlier this week because I was, you know, I blew my voice out screaming about it. The New York Times article complains that these darn Republicans, they're always out there, just political hacks, always looking for their framing. They're always pouncing on something now, aren't they? And they're trying to make everybody look bad and fundraise about it. Let me give you this. The trans sports ban was the test balloon in terms of how they can frame these things, said Nadine Smith, the executive director of Equality Florida, a totally unbiased organization. Once they opened that parents' rights frame, they began to use it everywhere. And this, you gotta love the way their media acts today. You know, we just basically want people to not cut our kids up in surgeries, without asking us. I know it's crazy. It's a crazy idea. We don't want some grown man twerking in front of them when they're at the library. I know it's so, so weird. We don't want them, really, regardless of whether they're trans or not, having a stripper essentially in front of them jiggling their cheeks in their face. It's a crazy idea. But we, of course, are the political hacks just trying to exploit that going on. Everyone's fine with it before, but then we came in and we ruined all the fun. The New York Times, of course, is an indictment of it, you know, of itself in this particular story. Talking about, you know, how their embedded philosophy just kind of gets put into these stories. Again, this is not an opinion piece. This is not, okay, this is, you know, I don't know, Paul Krugman's opinion. This is supposed to be a news story, and they just what they'll do is they'll just adopt the language of leftist activists and act as if that's the way you're supposed to do it. And anything conservatives say, like, and there's a big story about this with the abortion pill. They're like, oh, well, this person used the term chemical abortion. Yeah, so that's right-wing language. Yeah, is it really? Is it not chemicals? Is it not an abortion? I mean, this isn't exactly the most crazy messaging I've ever heard in my entire life. But unless you say their terms, unless you call it gender-affirming care, that's a sign that you're conservative and therefore a sign that you're evil. The New York Times goes through this and they try to do this over and over again. Let me give you a couple examples. The ruling stripped them of an issue they had used to galvanize rank-and-file supporters and big donors. And it left them searching for a cause that, like opposing gay marriage, would rally the base and raise the movement's profile on the national stage. I mean, you could write this 100 different ways. You could say, well, they wanted to defend traditional marriage. They wanted to defend the law. You know, going back a ways, the Defense of Marriage Act was the law. Then the Democrats were like, oh, we're not going to enforce that law anymore. We don't like it. This is something they do all the time. But instead, you just take the Democratic talking point that you're opposing rights and just put that in there. You could say, well, they were just defending the law. You could say, oh, well, they were just defending traditional marriage the way it's been for a million years. You could say something that's not with no opinion at all in the middle. No, they just adopt the left-wing framing and then spoon feed it to the audience. Or this, it's a strange world we live in, said Ari Drennan, the LGBTQ, apparently not QIA2+, program director for Media Matters. They have someone else there for the 2+ people. A liberal media monitoring group, that's a mouthful, that tracks the legislation. Is that what they do? Is that what Media Matters does? Do they really track legislation? Is that their job? Oh, my God. As a transgender woman, she said, she feels unwelcome in whole swaths of the country where states have attacked her right just to exist in public. We went through the nonsense of that statement in a while, and I will tell you, a lot of people probably don't welcome this person anywhere in America, but that's because they work for Media Matters. Got nothing to do with them being trans. Nothing to do with it. I ask any conservative, even someone who doesn't even like trans people at all, if they think they're the worst things in the world, they're going to hate Media Matters more. So anyway, liberal and monitoring group is one kind of a description of the seemingly endless supply of viral videos of drag queens twerking for kids. If you think young boys lopping off their junk and girls slicing off their breasts is protecting transgender youths, then, you know, you might, I hate to alert you of this, you might be pushing a radical progressive ideology, and you might be doing it through news stories. Here's another one. For now, the legislation has advanced almost exclusively in Republican-controlled states. Those same policies have drawn strong opposition from Democrats who've applauded the increased visibility of transgender people in government, corporations, and Hollywood, and policies protecting transgender youths. I mean, I don't know. You know, increased visibility. This is constantly what goes on. These things are pushed into the news cycle without even giving you the idea that it's opinion, obviously. Nowhere in the article is there even a slight attempt to accurately portray the motivation of conservatives who just want to send their kids to school with the assurance that maybe, I don't know, they'll come back with their penis and boobs still attached. I know it's a crazy, wild world we're asking for here. Is that really too much to ask for? And even try to present a plausible reason that conservatives might be against this stuff? I mean, from the Me Too generation, the fact that we can't sell the Me Too generation in the media on the idea that maybe it's inappropriate for teenage girls to be in a locker room naked with teenage boys against their will, it's fascinating. The only thing they could find is this one guy who talked about the political aspects of the trans movement. They put that in there and then go to Media Matters immediately. Look, investigate what you want. Ignore what you want to ignore. This is what the media does. They'll take one side's propaganda as fact and reject the other side as hate. All of this keeps building on itself, constantly, constantly, constantly. At the end of the day, people wonder why no one trusts the media anymore. Inflation has lots of consequences. When you tried to make that omelet the other day, you may have realized that. The Fed raises their interest rates to combat the out-of-control government spending. Long-term bonds have diminished in value, crippling banks. We've seen that problem get worse and worse and worse. Depositors are holding their breath, and they're taking the money out of banks. This is a long-term problem that we're looking at. Diversification has never been more important. The recent surge in gold prices is directly tied to the extreme market volatility right now. That's why gold has historically been a great hedge against the stock market and against inflation and against all sorts of other economic instability. Now would be a great time to diversify into gold with Birch Gold Group. Birch Gold makes it easy to convert an IRA or 401k into an IRA in precious metals. Here's what you need to do. Text STU to the number 989898. Get a free info kit on gold. They'll help you convert your existing IRA or 401k that's tied to the market into an IRA in physical precious metals, gold and silver. And the best part, it is tax sheltered. Text the name, my name, Stu, to the number 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. They've got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of happy customers, countless five-star reviews. Birch Gold is who you can trust to protect your future. Text Stu to the number 989898 today. It's Birch Gold.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Well, it's finally happened. Glenn Beck has completely run out of topics, news stories to talk about. He's got a brand new special coming up tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, but it's about Waco, which happened 30 years ago, a 30-year-old story. Man's completely run out of stuff. Netflix Waco's An American Apocalypse reveals dark truths about U.S. agencies gone out of control. Glenn, how's it going?
You want to know the truth? Who's phoning it in? That's obviously the special is mentions Waco. We talk a little bit about it, but what are the lessons and how government's being weaponized? Somebody who's really phoning it in, why don't you show the other side of that card?
I don't think that's necessary.
That card is all of the show prep that he did to prepare for this segment. Go ahead.
I'll show you the other side.
So no, flip it around on the white side there.
And I think
there's not a word on it.
There's not a word
there's
on
not
it.
It's completely black. It
looks good.
Like, yeah, you know, you're there and you're cool. Like, wow, he's
like
got a lot of questions. He's got nothing.
So, Mr. Beck, this Waco, tell us about it.
It's a town.
Really?
In Texas.
It's where the gains are from.
Right.
Great bakery, by the way. Magnolia Bakery.
Right, yeah.
I will tell you, long line, really freaking good.
Can you believe how much those two changed that town?
It's incredible.
If you're ever in Texas, you got to go to Waco. Except it's full of tourists, so you won't like it. But it is just packed, and they've completely changed that town.
Yeah.
Before they moved in, Waco was known as Wacky Waco because of the Branch Davidians. And I remember 30 years ago, I was living in Connecticut, and I was in my home, and I saw that it had just happened. And it wasn't more than 5 or 6 hours we heard President Clinton start talking about Rush Limbaugh and how this is all being caused by Rush Limbaugh and right-wing radio. And it's amazing how little has changed.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I was thinking about this as we were talking a little bit off the air today about the Fox News lawsuit, where, you know, every time something goes wrong, every time there's a tragedy, every time something goes awry, they look for the right-wing figure to blame it on. And in this particular case, after the election, obviously you have the January 6th situation. It's kind of an ugly point in our history. And the blame just has to come out. They go after Fox News. Now, I don't think Fox News is even claiming everything they did, every way they handled that story was the right way. But like, you're in the middle of a developing news story. You don't have the benefit of hindsight. You are trying to bring to your audience perspective on a story that they care about. And you have to have freedom to do
and
that.
And one of the reasons why the right was willing to accept it, just like the left would have been willing to accept it, is because the media has done such a thorough job on covering they stole that election with Hillary Clinton and with John Kerry and with Al Gore. There is no trust in that institution because the media has not done its job. It's been political, not truthful. So what are you going to do? You have half the country that believed that was stolen in one way or another. You have the president's attorney. Who are you to turn down that interview? Now, push him to the wall, which we did. Mm-hmm. But who are you to say, I'm going to make this decision, even if the president believes it and his attorney tells me, his two attorneys tell me, I'm making the arbitrary decision in real time, early on. Nope, wasn't stolen.
Yeah, and that's, if they want that coverage, I guess they can have it. I mean, they got it from MSNBC and CNN at the time, right? They all came out and they said, these were lies, these were lies, these were lies. And that's what they're saying that they
said,
want.
What did we say? Do you remember?
We said, show us the evidence.
Show us the evidence. Yeah. We will accept either way. Show us the evidence.
What's interesting, though, is we got the same exact approach on something like COVID being leaked from a lab.
Yes.
These are lies. These are conspiracy theories. They judged it before they had the facts because everyone was telling them that the experts were saying this was a lie. So they just went with it. It disproved what Donald Trump was saying.
Even though those experts were the people in charge making
involved.
The policy and lying.
So we got that. We saw the same thing with, you know, masks. You have to wear masks. This will save us. If you don't agree with that, you're lying. There's 100 examples of this. I think you could really go back to, you mentioned this kind of briefly there with the Russia situation, where just as high a percentage of Democrats believe the 2016 election was stolen because of Russia and their interference or whatever Russiagate was, as people do with the Sidney Powell stuff. And the media ran with that. They said it was credible the entire time. They went down that road and they were wrong on almost all of that stuff. And they don't have any price to pay for it.
Yeah, I know. So that's the problem. And that's, you know, that's why litigation sometimes is important. I have no problem in real time people making mistakes, getting it wrong, you know, believing it and saying but they've never come out except in page 19, paragraph 23, saying, oh, yeah, by the way, that we were wrong on that.
Hunter Biden. That's exactly what
right.
they did with
Hunter Biden. They make these blanket statements, crucify people that disagree with them, vilify them. And then when it proves to be true, they don't question themselves. How did we make that big of a mistake? How did we do that? Who gave us that information? Let's make sure they're not involved anymore. You know what I mean? There's no learning curve which says it's intentional. And the learning curve on tonight's special from Waco, the decisions that were made at the highest level were not necessarily decisions that were made with the best interest of the people, even the country. It was the experts that made these decisions. And we are now looking at experts making every decision where we don't have any stopgap. We don't have a court system that, you know, will litigate these things. Luckily, we've had a few go to the Supreme Court, but you really can't count on the court system. You can't count on Congress because they don't have the power of the purse strings. Okay. And the Senate is not into it for the states. That was the other check and balance. The states would rise up with those senators because the states picked them. They weren't national figures. You are to protect the state. And that's not gone. So you have no checks and balances at all and no truth. What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, no one trusts anybody. And that's why when there's something that comes up that may, you know, be false, people don't know what to believe.
Right.
Let me ask you this. As a Hall of Fame broadcaster that you are, how do you deal with this with an audience? I mean, one of the things you're best known for is a really close connection with your audience. Like, you've always been the person who will just come out and say everything that's been going on in your life, everything that's in your mind. You kind of just let it all flow out into the living room, in the car. Yeah, it happens, right? Often. And I think that's one of the reasons why your audience has stuck by you for a long time. But, like, give me a hypothetical issue here. Something comes out. It's a big news story. Your audience believes it. You, on the other hand, look at the facts and you say, gosh, this isn't real. I don't think this is true. How are you supposed to handle that? Because you don't want to piss off your audience. You don't want to scare them away. You don't want to insult them by telling them, oh, you guys are idiots and you're wrong. On the other hand, you know, you deserve, your audience deserves you telling you what you really believe about it.
I didn't at first know what to believe about the election. I still don't believe it was a fair election, but I don't know if enough votes were fraudulent to sway it. My guess is yes, but that's surely my guess. Mm-hmm. It's not, I have no evidence to back that up. None. Okay. The audience really believed the machine rigging.
Especially at the very beginning.
Very beginning. Yeah. And it was pretty easy to believe. Because we've seen problems with machines. They're, my understanding, easily manipulated.
And the left laid the groundwork for this in 2004
sure
when they said these machines were, you know, likely flipping it from John Kerry.
Correct. And they had just put in a bill just before the, if I'm not mistaken, just before the 2020 election, because they didn't necessarily know they were going to win. And they were seeding it to say, hey, I don't know about these machines.
Right. So, okay? So obvious.
It's so obvious. So I don't want, this one was tough for me because I didn't want to say something I didn't believe, but what I believed was not necessarily true. So, you know, we had Sidney.
Provable.
Yeah, provable. Mm-hmm. We had Sidney Powell on, and I got bad vibes from her from the minute she came on, and just thought, not credible. And she was making crazy, crazy claims that if were true, could have been true, and if were true, would have been game-changing, okay?
Yep.
But they were quite bold, and I remember just saying to her, do you have this? Yes. Why haven't you come out with that? Well, I am next week.
And she said that to a lot of different people, a lot of different time frames.
Right. And I said, when next week? She said Monday. And I said, then Tuesday, we'll have you back on again. But you've got to produce the evidence, okay? Because it becomes somewhat irresponsible if you want to guard your credibility,
mm-hmm.
okay? I didn't want to dismiss that because it could have been true, but I also didn't want her stirring things up and having repeat appearances stirring it up when it's very easy. You could release just a little bit of it and show me what you have that would go, wow. But when she wouldn't, you can't go there.
Yeah, I mean, I think just asking honest questions, and it's interesting because Tucker Carlson was named in this particular lawsuit with Fox, and honestly, what I remember about the Tucker Carlson coverage of that was him calling Sidney Powell out just in a similar way that you did, saying, hey, we keep asking you for evidence, and you're not providing it, like, that's a problem. And yet they still had to pay $787 million. Now, I don't know how much of this is just the judge, you know, like they realized they were up against it with this judge who had it out for them or whatever. But is this, how bad of a, we got 1 minute left. How bad of a precedent is this for the media?
I don't know. I don't think good. But I think it will probably work out to be worse for conservatives because it never seems to affect the other side. I mean, look at the lies, the massive lies that the media have been saying. Not that they just put on the air, that they themselves as hosts pushed themselves, all of these things. There's no consequence. So I don't think we live in a fair world. We never have. But we live in a world that is deeply stacked against a conservative or common sense point of view.
It's going to be worse for conservatives. Sort of an evergreen answer for pretty much everything these days. Glenn Beck, the new special is Netflix. Waco, American Apocalypse reveals dark truths about U.S. agencies gone out of control. It's coming up 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it. BlazeTV.com/Stu. The promo code is Stu. Glenn, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Of course, so we just interviewed the star of the movie Nefarious.
That's right.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a bunch of people this weekend. They're like, "Oh, I saw Nefarious. It was so good." And by the way, I saw Glenn in it, and he wasn't that bad. You know, I thought he was all right. That was kind of, and I was like, first of all, do not tell him that. Do not tell him that. Whatever you do, Glenn is in Nefarious at the very end, but that's not really the whole story. The whole story is a really intense movie written by our own Steve Dace. He wrote a book about this, and it's turned into a nationwide movie. You can go see it right now. It's in theaters. Whoisnefarious.com. Getting a lot of great reviews, with the exception of Glenn's performance. A lot of great reviews. Whoisnefarious.com. Check it out now. You're not going to want to miss this one, and you should see it in theaters. Whoisnefarious.com. Out now, nationwide. So I mentioned this yesterday, $787.5 million to Dominion from Fox News Channel. They've got another suit coming up. They've got a couple of other ones, but another one from a different, I think Smartmatic is the other voting apparatus they were having issues with, and they're suing for even more than Dominion was suing for. That one probably won't come until later this year, maybe even next year. But it's an interesting thing. Jim Garrity had a piece on this for National Review and says there's three hard lessons from the Dominion defamation lawsuit against Fox. He says, number one is there can be catastrophic financial consequences for adopting and repeating the lies of, in this case, the former president. Always adopting is one thing. And I don't know that they adopted these. Certainly certain hosts did. And we're talking about, again, not some of the more run-of-the-mill complaints about the election, but we're talking about the sort of out-there theories that were on the Dominion side of things. Number two, he says, a network's responsible journalism is not a useful legal defense against a network's irresponsible and defamatory journalism. One of the arguments Fox made here was, look, here's all of our coverage saying the things that you think we should have been saying. And yeah, their other perspectives were given some airtime as well. Some of these guests came on. You know, the president of the United States was talking about this. You know, this should be enough to justify us talking about things. But here's fact checks that we did, and here's other things. Court basically said, screw, don't worry about that. We don't care if you did it right a bunch of times. We're talking about the times that you did it wrong. And that's what they said. Finally, this one, I think, is interesting. Number three, it is unlikely that the networks like Fox News can afford to keep loose cannon hosts anymore. Now, Lou Dobbs is the one really who was hit hard in this lawsuit. He's the one that was cited many, many times. You know, like you have some people who were talking about these stories, but being much more general about them. Dobbs was really sort of endorsing them almost on several occasions. And it's one of the things that really got Fox News in trouble. His point here is that I think a lot, especially on the conservative side, some of these networks are going to be much more gun-shy about hiring people who are maybe a little edgier, who are willing to come out and say things that are unpopular because, if they go down the wrong road, it could cost us a lot of money. Now, of course, there's a line between unpopular and, you know, lying to the American people, but do you trust a corporation to really find that line? They're just going to be risk-averse, I think, after all of this. We also have the Supreme Court extending the block on the abortion pill by a couple of days. So we'll see where that goes here in the next week. We should have some resolution as to how long this is going to last and if it's going to be something that's more permanent, at least until the full trial may eventually get to the Supreme Court. So we'll get into that as well here in the upcoming weeks. Lots of court stuff going on. Back in a second. I want to tell you about the Ghost Sleeve from Refuge Privacy. You know that cell phone that you're carrying around all the time? It's always with you everywhere you go. Well, sure, it's useful for some things. You want to order a bunch of food on DoorDash or something. It's great. However, it's also a portable tracking and listening device. And if you're concerned, which I know you are, about big tech and the way they go after your data and all that other stuff, they can, you know, how someone can listen to your private phone conversations if they feel like it. If you have security concerns like stalkers, if you're worried about the worst case scenario like an EMP or God knows what, it would be nice to protect the phone with something that keeps everything and everybody out wherever and whenever you don't want them in there. The Ghost Sleeve from Refuge Privacy does exactly that. It's made with Faraday fabric that blocks signals to and from the phone. And it has sound blocking as well on each side. Your private conversations are yours, not anyone else's. It's also made in America with American Buffalo leather. You'll like the way it looks, and each sleeve has a sealing mechanism. The Faraday fabric has two layers, and it'll even block out high-frequency 5G signals. So visit refugeprivacy.com, refugeprivacy.com. Use the code STU, save 10% on your order. It's refugeprivacy.com. The code is STU, refugeprivacy.com. Code is STU for 10% off.
Team DeSantis presents
Real Man of Women's Sports.
Today we recognize the men who've hacked the system.
Hacked the system.
Once mediocre in the men's division, now cream of the crop in the women's.
From mediocre to champion.
You couldn't cut it with the boys, so you pushed women off the podium.
Real Man still first place.
Because without you, sports would be fair. Without you, women's sports would be for, well, women.
There you go. Team DeSantis coming out with that new spot. It's interesting back and forth, actually, when it comes to the Bud Light issue, and that like the Trump side of this seems to be don't boycott Bud Light. They're, you know, Republican leaning and we don't want to lose them and they're not that woke. We promise. DeSantis side is like DeSantis sees weakness here and he's going after it, saying you should go after Bud Light. Again, I'm not a boycott guy. You know my stance on that. But still, it's an interesting dynamic playing out in the campaign here as we go forward. By the way, we had way better Real Men of Genius parody spots back in the day, and we can't do them anymore. Because the reasons. You know, Bud Light didn't like people using that too much. And it's interesting, now everyone is again, and I wonder if they're going to come after those people, because they like to do that, I've heard, occasionally, allegedly. Twitter is removing its policy against dead-naming transgender people. This is a fascinating thing, because it was always a ridiculous indication of where Twitter was. Look, you know, of course there's, you're not, no one's just going to accept this stuff. Everyone knows that it's a creation of modern society to say a boy can turn into a girl by snapping their fingers. That's just not something that's real. And so if you want to do it, you can do it. If you want to, someone changes their name, you can call them by their new name. But calling them by their old name should not be that big of an insult. You know, I actually remember listening to a podcast about the Olympics back in the day. And they were like, they gave a warning at the beginning of the podcast. Like, just so you know, a couple of people in here said Bruce Jenner. I know it's triggering for you, but they were referring to Caitlyn Jenner. And no, they weren't. Caitlyn Jenner didn't win any freaking medals. Bruce Jenner won the medals. That's how that works. And by the way, as a person whose real name is Stu or Steve, and it's called Stu all the time, I get it backwards now. I, you know, some people, and I've noticed you in the comments, you dead name me. You call me Steve, even though obviously my name is Stu or something. Even though I like Steve better, it was my dad's name. Stu is just some mistake that somebody made a long time ago. So bottom line is go ahead and dead name me all you want. And, you know, you should be able to dead name anybody you want. It might not be the nicest thing in the world. Maybe people hurt feelings after it. But really, that's not the type of control our technology should have over us. We should be able to say the things that we want to say. You can judge people for who they actually are. And you can't ban the truth. Yesterday, we called for repealing the 16th Amendment. Screw you, income tax. We want you gone. A lot of great comments on YouTube about it. Only slightly hating this Stu pitch show. Thanks. I am looking forward to participating in repealing the 16th Amendment. Hashtag AEC, algorithmic engagement comment. Vaughn writes, I'm so glad to hear someone finally state the actual goal. Eliminate the income tax. The fair tax is a compromise, and we don't need to start from a compromised position. Maybe instead of conservative, there should be a better term. Jason says, I hate hearing that the income tax was once illegal. People screwed this country up so much before I got here. Ugh. It's so true. It's like, we had it. We had it right at the beginning. And then they amended the Constitution to allow the income tax. Bo writes, I'm with you. Repeal the 16th. Well, you can be with us at repealthe16thamendment.com. Get your T-shirt now. Repealthe16thamendment.com. The code is STU10. We'll see you tomorrow.